This is Radio Free Pro Wrestling, your home for smart and stunning wrestling debate with lifelong wrestling fans, Sean and Ashley. Let the debate begin.
And of course, if Sean and Ashley were here getting you guys ready, and Ashley, I feel like the world is just burning down around us. How are you doing this WrestleMania week?
It was pretty crazy because when I was at work today, I was kind of catching up on some shows, and I watched like the CMLL show from just this past weekend, and then I watched Ring of Honor, and then I came out and saw everybody talking about like the CM Punk interview and all of this stuff. So kind of a 180 there. Yeah, quite a bit of stuff going on. I don't want to be too overdramatic, but we're going to have to address some of this stuff today.
I got about 90% away through this interview. I feel like we need to just realize that this is CM Punk's truth. And like always, we've been saying, there's three truths. There's CM Punk's truth. There's the other people's truth. And somewhere in the middle is the actual truth. But I would highly suggest you go watch Ariel Helwani's MMA Hour from today. There's a lot of stuff in it. And a lot of stuff we've been talking about for the last 9 months.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I would say some stuff is kind of common criticism stuff that I, like, even like you and myself have said about Tony Khan and AEW itself. Some of it is kind of his narrative on things. I don't know how much like pushback there was in the questioning. I still haven't seen like the full interview. But I mean, at least he's finally getting to kind of address it at all. Like, he hasn't really spoken too much about it without it being kind of like a veiled shot at something.
Very true, Ashley. We'll give you guys a more in detail feedback about the interview probably Wednesday when we do our WrestleMania preview. But right now we're heading over to the control center to catch you up on the week in professional wrestling news.
This is your Radio Free Pro Wrestling Control Center. All the wrestling news you need to know.
And Ashley, my first story for you this week, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal is not going to be on WrestleMania night one or two. It's back in its traditional spot, the Friday SmackDown before WrestleMania. And we got Chad Gable in this one, Shinsuke Nakamura, along with a few other people who should be on the WrestleMania card.
Yeah, kind of an interesting choice. I mean, I know it's been on the show before. It's been on like the pre-show before. So I know it's kind of had its spot kind of like moved around. I feel like it could be like a big draw for SmackDown though, especially with all of these competitors, like especially like Chad Gable, who's somebody like the fans have been really invested in as of late.
True. And I feel like this will take up a large chunk of SmackDown as we're heading into SmackDown, the Hall of Fame, into night one of WrestleMania. This would take maybe the first hour of SmackDown away. Then they have a couple more matches on that night, like Solo Sikoa versus Jey Uso before we get into WrestleMania proper.
Yeah, I mean, I know they have obviously like the biggest show coming up, but I feel like it's like kind of a good idea too to not hang on to all the big matches for that show, to also, you know, like to beef up these shows around it too, to kind of bring in as many people as possible for WrestleMania.
Very true. Our second news story of the week is one that you brought to my attention, as Ace Austin has re-signed with TNA Wrestling. I got to say, this is a smart move by this company. Ace Austin is a true star. He could be a future future TNA world champion.
Yeah, no, I sent this because we kind of saw how hot TNA was getting toward the end of last year, and they steamed on a roll, and then it seemed to all fall apart right with the new year. They were luckily able to hang on to a couple of other people, but I feel like Ace Austin staying and like choosing to maybe stay here and lead the charge as one of these young talent TNA has, I feel like that's a good sign for them and for maybe some other people to possibly stay on board in TNA in the future.
Very true, Ashley. It's just nice to finally have a good story to tell about TNA wrestling. We seem like we've been talking about one step forward, four steps back for like last 3 months here as we're dealing with this Scott D'Amore situation. Finally, there's some positive growth here for TNA, and hopefully it continues. Let's get to our third news story of the week, as Tony Khan has announced that Kōshi Irby is becoming the COO of All Elite Wrestling. He's coming from Clemson University, and he also at one time was a regional director of live events for WWE. It's just nice to see Tony bringing in people and forming a think tank around him, because that's been our biggest criticism of Tony Khan for the last year. Is like, Tony, you can't do all this by yourself. You need a team.
Yeah, exactly. And he seems to be hiring like these experienced people who I think I even sent the story. I'm not like even when they brought in was it Pepperman a few months ago? Yeah, like Pepperman. Even that, like, he seems to be kind of surrounding himself with like some experienced people who seem to know what they're doing. And we can kind of already see like the impact, like the visual and like actual, the, you know, physical changes that have happened with the set and the look of the shows. So hopefully they can continue to help transform kind of like what we've been talking about with the lack of structure, seemingly so much with AEW. Hopefully bringing in these people can help form that structure.
Yes. So my fourth news story of the week, we don't know if Cody's going to finish the story, but he's going to sign with WWE for a couple more years. Now, originally, Cody was floating the idea of retiring around the age of 40, which would be mid-2025. He's signing a multi-year extension to his contract. So it looks like he's thinking about wrestling into his mid-40s now, which I'm perfectly happy with. More Cody, more wrestling, yes. And fingers crossed, he fits the story.
I'd say he'd have to kind of, I feel like they got to put the belt on him, and they kind of got to make up for like now not like kind of not pulling the trigger on him. I feel like now we got to give him like a nice long reign. And like, it totally makes sense that he would stay with them after like this whole storyline and being involved in this high tier stuff as he has since he's rejoined WWE.
Okay. You say long title reign. So, Ashley, I'm going to put you on the spot here. How many days is that long title reign? How many days do you think Cody will keep the title?
I don't know. Because, like, I don't know if you genuinely go from, like, what, 4 years? I don't even know how long it's been now for Roman. It's been since 2020.
Okay. At my last remembrance of it, it's over 1,300 days.
Yeah. Like, wow. Okay. So.
Now, personally, I don't think Cody will have that long with a title reign. But I'm with you. I feel like Cody needs to hold it through the end of 2024. Then we get to Royal Rumble. We'll find him a challenger, and then we'll go from there. Okay.
Yeah. At least find him like a decent contender or somebody. Put him in like a, even if you have like a long term storyline, a la, you know, Cody versus the Bloodline, like this, you could have Cody kind of carry a feud with somebody for a long time to kind of repay and bring somebody up to their level now.
You know, you can put Cody with Solo Sikoa. You can put Cody with Jimmy. There's a few feuds there. Oh, by the way, this guy, Dwayne, I think he's The Rock. I kind of like to see that as a feud for SummerSlam, maybe. I don't know.
I think even that, I would do that, but I would do that if they do that. I would do that like sooner rather than later.
Honestly, I feel like it should be the SummerSlam main event is Cody versus Rock for the title. And we see Rock and Roman kind of break apart, and maybe Roman gets kicked out of the Bloodline and Rock takes the Bloodline over, going like, you failed me. I'm the final boss. You failed me, Tribal Chief. So see ya.
Be an interesting dynamic to have like the Rock leading it and Roman having to like maybe atone for all he's done if possible.
Atoning and becoming a new babyface, a babyface Roman Reigns after this wrong run as the Tribal Chief. Could be an interesting story. We'll see.
Honestly, after the past attempts at having him be... I was going to say just opposing to like the past attempts to have him go babyface, they would have such a great story to tell with him trying to atone and to like progress and like, you know, turn back the trust of his family and stuff like that. Like that would be a really good storyline and a great babyface storyline for him.
And we're working our way through Survivor Series. And you can have Team Cody, and they need one more person to face Team Rock. Who better than Roman Reigns? Just saying, long-term booking.
Just throwing stuff out there, man.
That's why I do it every Monday night. Moving on to my next news story. We've been wondering where Jay White has been for the last couple of weeks. And it's just come down to the fact that he's had some visa issues and not been allowed to be in Canada. So we saw last week he had a home invasion angle where he went into Billy Gunn's house with the Gunn brothers. So that's what's going on with Jay White. We do get Jay White versus Billy Gunn this Wednesday on Dynamite. And that's going to be a match that's probably, if it wasn't WrestleMania week, would be my top five matches of the week.
It seems like such a crazy match to have suggested just a few years ago. But here we are. I'm glad they've kept him on TV while not being able to have him there live. But it's kind of concerning how often visa issues are becoming a problem.
True, very true. I feel like that's the next department Tony Khan needs to look at and go like, I need to find me a very good visa lawyer. And oh, by the way, you're the new person in charge of getting all my people in and out of different countries.
Yeah, we might need somebody kind of just single-handedly like focusing on that, because the issues with the Mexican visas and apparently even Jay White's visa now has had issues. PAX, I know recently, well, in the past few months had had issues as well. So it just seems to be an all over problem. I'm hoping that we can kind of get some of the stuff settled and squared away.
Okay, so my final news story of the week for you. Nev was on Keep It 100 Conan's podcast, and he was basically telling Conan why he selected TNA wrestling, and it came down to the fact that he spent 19 years in WWE. He wasn't ready to do another long-term contract with like an AEW, so he decided to sign with TNA so he can do internet dates. And hey, this Nick Namath World Tour has been pretty freaking awesome already.
Yeah, no, I think it's kind of perfect. Like you said, he was in WWE for 19 years. That's a long time to really only be working at one place. He's kind of getting to work with all these young people and all these people he's never really had the opportunity to work with before. So that's very cool. I feel like he could kind of just show up anywhere at this point.
Exactly. I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe he can pop up and challenge Adam Copeland at the next Cope Open, maybe? I don't know.
Take a page out of Matt Cardona's book this week. I think it could work, though.
There eventually. I'm pretty sure that's going to be on somebody's top five list.
I was just going to say, betting on yourself has worked for a lot of lately.
Yes, it has. Betting on yourself has worked greatly for Matt Cardona. Matt Cardona's the perfect example of it. Cody Rhodes took a good long time away from any North American company and did his world tour, and that was great as well. So we'll just keep our eyes on Nick Namath and see where he lands next. So we are going over to our Stunning Six questions of the week, Ashley.
Time to ring the bell as Sean and Ashley debate six stunning questions from the week of wrestling. All the whys and what the hell was that?
And this set of Stunning Six questions kind of go around the fandom of us professional wrestling fans. And I got a lot of inspiration here from Chris Van Viet. He had eight out early in the week for one of these questions. And I'm going to start with that question. And the question being, Ashley, which is stronger of an influence on wrestling fans? Is it nostalgia or recency bias?
That is truly a hard question. Nostalgia is a hell of a drug for some people because they hang on to some stuff that I personally don't get. But recency bias is truly just as bad. Like, you'll see so many people like right after a match being like, oh my God, the best match, the greatest match ever. And like it's not going to be the greatest match ever because there's always going to be something else that tops it, or you're going to find something else that you like maybe a little more. I don't know. I think nostalgia, I think it has its place, but I think it is a little over relied on in wrestling.
Okay, that's a fair point. And my answer to this question was nostalgia, because I was thinking, you know what? I can remember my first crush in college. I can basically describe all the good things about her. But if I got to a point where I went back and got talking to her, I could understand why that did not work out. And perfect wrestling example for you. I'm a big WCW fan. I grew up in the Monday Night Wars. I was Team WCW. Ask me how many times I went back and watched WCW from 2000 to 2001 in the last year. The answer is zero.
Truly. It's why, like I said, it has its place, and it can certainly help bolster interest and certainly ratings and things like that. But I feel like recency bias is just a little more, like, it's kind of just annoying. It's not so much. It's not, like, harmful in any way, I think.
I can see your point, because you get this wave of people going like, somebody already said greatest match ever, and everybody goes on Twitter goes like, yeah, you're right, greatest match ever, until the next week, and then they go, oh, greatest match ever.
Yeah. And truly, I mean, like, it can be funny, it can, like, but I don't think it's like, I feel like sometimes the problem with wrestling and nostalgia is that if it, sometimes it can rely too heavily on it, and it relies sometimes almost on the wrong parts of it. There are some things it's okay to let go of, you know?
You know, like most of probably the last 2 years of WCW, or maybe a couple of different versions of Chris Jericho, but oh, wait a minute, that's a different show.
Yeah, please. Oh no, Jericho.
Okay. I'm just moving on to my next stunning question for you. Yeah, I know. I'm happy I'm safely recording about 1,800 miles away from you. There's no way for you to throw a brick at me or anything like that for that question. But my next question, we're going over to this question I asked on Twitter, and it came from Becky Lynch doing an interview about her book, and Sami Zayn sent in a question, and he was asking, what is more important? Is it the in-ring working of a professional wrestling match, or the storytelling of that match? And I went to Twitter, put up a poll. 75% of us Radio Free professional wrestling fans said storytelling is more important than in-ring work. Ashley, what do you stand?
I know no one's going to like the answer, but for me, it truly is a marriage. For me, you need both. If the storytelling is excellent, but the match doesn't deliver, for me personally, it's going to detract from everything that came before it. So even if you have this great storyline, but it culminates in this really awful match that's terrible, I'm as likely to forget that storyline as I am that awful match. If a match has no buildup and it's a great match, I'll remember it. And if a story is great and at least has like a decent match, I'll remember everything. I don't know. You know, like my brain filters out like the things I'm like, oh my God, like I truly hated that. Like I tend to like brush it off and try to forget about it. But I feel like it's almost like storytelling without the wrestling is going to be pointless, but it, also vice versa. You know?
Okay. See, I'm with you. I feel like there's a happy medium in this center here. And I'm going to give you a sample here. The greatest storyline in WCW history was Sting coming down from the rafters to save WCW. It was like a year and a half build of Sting sitting up in the rafters, the NWO running roughshod over WCW, Sting coming down every now and then, beat up the NWO, rinse and repeat, and we get to Starrcade 1997. How many people here are going to raise your hand and say, like, Hogan versus Sting at Starrcade 97 was one of the best matches ever? Nope, not anybody.
But like you said, still,
and I'm a Sting fan. One of the most
talked about things in WCW's history is that storyline and the whole Sting, you know, character.
Actually, the reason why we talk about it now is because of what could have been. If they got the Sting thing freaking right, it could have led to maybe WCW still being business.
Just
me being crazy.
No. I feel like people try to divide it so much, but like, it's intertwined. Like there has to be some sort of like backbone and connectivity, but there also can, like, you can make connections and you can build a story from a match. And there are some fans that are just unwilling to like accept that as well, which is like truly awful, because that's kind of like the pure competition type of storyline. And those can work just as well if you're willing to, you know, be open to them.
You know, it's really the difference if you boil it down to, it's stage magic versus up close magic. In ring work, it's like up close magic. It's like pick a card, any card, that kind of up close magic where the person doesn't have that room to make that many mistakes. Because if they have a bad match inside the ring, it's never going to save it. You can have a so-so storyline. If the match rocks, people are going to remember the match, not the storyline.
I agree.
Okay, we're moving on to my next stunning question as we go into number three. Back on Friday Night SmackDown, Jade probably made one of the greatest debuts in the history of WWE. They made her look like a freaking rock star. Ashley, am I right?
Yeah, I'm glad that they finally kind of got past the having seen her do, was it since the Royal Rumble? I don't think she's done anything right in the ring since.
You're right. Not since.
I mean, we had a nice
the first in ring.
Okay, cool. So yeah, I mean, we kind of got a little taste of her at the Rumble. Everyone was still kind of questioning, but like that power bomb is going everywhere, and it looked great. And like I said, when WWE signed Jade, like everyone's gonna see sooner or later, like she is a star.
Okay, so me personally, the interest is great, but the fact she's on SmackDown and it's in, and she's interacting now with Io Sky, Asuka, and Bianca Belair, Naomi, she's on the right brand. She's in a brand that has a lot of experience, talent, and they put her in a six-woman tag match at Mania. This is the perfect way to debut your big new star, and you build her right. It's putting her in a match where all she needs to do is tag in, make the hot tag, crowd goes wild, 1, 2, 3, Jay wins, and we're off to the races.
Yeah, it's a kind of like a protected environment for her to make her debut in. They can kind of like, you know, check on her progress, you know, see how she's doing, you know, in the ring for them. And I guess like compare her to like, you know, where they've had her trajectory and everything. And like you said, there couldn't be a more perfect spot for her right now.
Exactly. So we can't wait to see what Jade does at WrestleMania. I got a feeling that she's going to steal the show in that match. We're moving on to my next Danny question. Let's just go ahead and keep it women's here for a second, because I thought about this question this morning. Could either of the women's singles title matches replace Cody and Steph versus Roman and Rock as the main event of night one? If you remember last week, we were talking with Kimmy, and Kimmy was saying like how Bayley was getting screwed out of her main event. This is for the fact that you're having the same guys wrestle twice on both nights of WrestleMania, which I kind of agree with Kimmy. I feel like one of these two matches could be the main event, not one.
I absolutely agree with that too. I have that like kind of like old school thought where I do genuinely like the world championship being the main event, kind of despite most things. I mean, I feel like the Sting situation, like retirement situations, are maybe like an exception that I would make. But like, I do think like, especially if you're having Roman and Cody main event the very next night, have that be like the semi-main event, you know, that tag match be the semi-main event the night before, and have the women close out the show. If you're going to have that world title on there, there's no reason it shouldn't close out the show.
I really feel like Io Sky versus Bayley could main event night one. And I feel like the fans would be okay with it. The fans would lift it up from that tag match if you ran it back to back. Or if you were smart, you would put a filler match right there before you get to the Io Sky and Bayley match. Let the fans come down. Then they can get back up for this match to end the night. And you send everybody probably home happy with a Bayley victory. And Bayley gets her main event.
Yeah, I think that's a storyline that the fans were... I mean, just as invested in, like, and it's, I feel like it's almost harder to do that for the women, like sometimes booking, sometimes talent, it'll depend. But that storyline was carrying for a long time. And I feel like it should be rewarded properly and given that spot. Like you said, like the tag match, maybe have that be kind of what you said, like two matches out, then have a filler match in between and then something there. And then the main event, that would be perfect. I think that storyline and the work they put into it deserves the main event spot.
I do too. So let's move on to my fifth studying question of the week. And our good friend Tony Khan is back at the Twitter game. As Eric Bischoff was announcing that he was closing down his first podcast, Tony just had to take a shot. Like, yeah, you need to close that down before we get our big new contract for TV. Tony, this is Eric Bischoff's game. You're going to lose here. You need to stop engaging with Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, he's just an antagonistic person. And like, this, like, Tony Khan on Twitter. Oh. truly, I wish he would just take a break. There's no reason to engage with people who you know are doing it in bad faith.
And honestly, you knew exactly what Eric Bischoff was doing, because the guy announced a new podcast. He's closing down one to do another podcast. And oh, by the way, Tony Khan, you just gave him free publicity. Bravo.
Exactly. And like all these people I try so hard to not listen to, and like he brings them to the forefront all the time. I like I said, he engages too much with people that he knows are trying to rile him up, and he's got to grow up with that, because it's genuinely just a flaw on his part now.
Honestly, true. It sounds like two kids in a sandbox is fighting with each other, and it just gets so old after a time, because you're like, dude, do you not learn your lesson?
Exactly.
Okay, we're going over to my final stunning question of the week, and we're staying with AEW, because AEW has a cool new motto or mantra, however you want to say it. It's AEW. It's we're the best wrestle. Ashley, do you roll your eyes like I did when I told Tony Schiavone's mouth on Collision Saturday night?
I felt a little forced. I don't think they so much need a tagline. I mean, if you want to like put it on some like press releases or something like that, like fine. But I don't think it's something that needs to be like said on the broadcast or anything.
It does sound like, you know, they realize they're number two and they need to present themselves like they're number one. And we know they're number two promotion in North America. It doesn't work. I'm sorry. Yes, on paper, you have a very damn good talent roster. You may have a talent roster that is better than the number one company in WWE. But in the perception of all of the public, WWE is what people think of when you say professional wrestling. I mean, like, if I walk out here in Knoxville to 10 random people and I say professional wrestling or WWE, they probably don't know professional wrestling. But if I say WWE, they go, oh, yeah, I know WWE.
Well, yeah, I mean, been around for 60 plus years. It's, you know, like, of course. Like, I mean, I get it. It's promotional. It's marketing. It's trying to get your stuff out there. But like I said, like, that's for press releases. That's for, you know, those kinds of things. I don't think it needs to be Tony Schiavone saying it on the broadcast. I feel like that's forced and that feels weird.
It did. Honestly, it did. And I just shook my head. I'm going like, oh my word, Tony Khan's having a great week here. Oh, this sounds good. And he put it on, of course, he put it on Twitter, of course. And that's what got me rolling into these two questions back to back was, it's another week with new Tony Khan amazing Twitter posts at about 4 a.m.
Tony Khan needs like a social media wrangler.
Okay, Ashley, how much money would it take you to take that job? How much?
Oh, Lord. I don't know if I would like, I don't know. Money seems to be like no object. So I don't know if I would just ask for like so much. It would be like, whatever, I'll deal with it. Or if there's not enough because he would drive me insane. And I don't know which one it is.
See, I'm with you. I feel like I could throw out a ballpark figure and he could probably meet it. It's just a simple fact. How long do I last in this position? And before I go like, I need some freaking muffins.
Like, Tony Khan, I am not engaging with Eric Bischoff again. Knock it off.
Okay, this has been your 76 questions here on Radio Free Professional Wrestling. We are moving over to mine, Ashley's favorite segment of the week is our top five matches.
It's Sean and Ashley's top five matches of the week. As they count down their five favorite matches from the past week, did your favorite match make the cut?
Ashley, I'm going to let you start here. What my match of the week?
I started off my list this week with Ring of Honor. It opened up this week with Athena in a Proving Grounds match against a talent named Nikita, who I'm not very familiar with, if I'm honest. But she gets a few minutes of offense in with Athena. Obviously, Athena wins the match, but I thought she looked really great. And Athena just, I can't, there's not enough praise to give to that woman for all she has done for the Ring of Honor women's division and that women's championship. She just continues to look great. She hits this like plancha elbow, like a tope elbow. Oh, it looks gross. Like, it's brutal.
You know, it was a good match to continue the storyline as we're going around to Supercard for Honor. After the match, Athena's still kind of totally over this porcelain princess, as she calls her. Goes back to beat the heck out of her again. Here comes Sheeta down to make the save. And we get this stare down between Sheeta and Athena. And Athena's carrying away like a hill. And maybe there's a little more, maybe I can't beat Sheeta slipping into Dominion Overlord's mind, maybe. I'm sorry, any of you minions, but I'm Team Shida. I got a feeling Shida's going to win the title.
I feel like they're kind of positioning her for that. Athena's kind of like almost like having like a breakdown, like in this fear of this match with Shida coming up. But it's been very cool to see. And if she does drop the title to Shida, it would be great to see Shida get a platform with a championship where she can kind of be the run of the show, because apparently the women are going to carry Ring of Honor. But I would like to see Athena come up to AEW, and we need.
Yes, I agree with you, Ashley. Athena needs to come to Dynamite. She needs to be on the main roster of AEW because she's done yeoman's work carrying Ring of Honor on her back for a year plus now. Okay, so my number five match, as I slide down here, came from Collision, and it was the opening match of Collision. It's the Copeland Open. Who's going to answer this in London, Ontario, Canada? Always ready. Oh, wait, my God, it's Matt Cardona. My mind was blown, and it was a great match.
I know you usually send me your list. I didn't get to see your list this week, so this is funny that this one is like, there were some people I said when we were off camera that I saw kind of complaining about this one and being like, oh, why have him, like, because it's funny. Like, I found it funny. Like, if you know the history between Copeland and Cardona, like, you might find it funny as well. He's been killing it on the indies and stuff, so it makes sense that they would bring him in at least for one match, and it makes sense to have it against Copeland.
Perfect place, perfect timing. They pull it off, like, great. And just hearing Matt Cardona's music hit, that was worth every bit of it.
Yeah, and a surprise, too, because I didn't... usually, you might see that stuff get out, but...
I know, that I was totally surprised, because I didn't know that was going to be the person challenging. And finally, sometimes surprises are good. So, my friend, what is your number four match of the week?
All right, so my number four... I like I said, I watched the CMLL show today, and watched the BCC along with Matt Sydal taking on four CMLL's best. It was Mystigo, Black Panther, Volador Jr., and Ultimo Guerrero. Just all over the place. Danielson and like Blue Panther, like every time they faced off, the arena was going insane, super loud. Everybody was like losing their minds. It was so cool to like see this. Like Danielson was, it's kind of turned into like AEW versus CMLL, and Danielson was leading AEW chants in Arena Mexico, like against Blue Panther, and people were cheering along and saying it with him. But the match itself is like insane. Matt Sydal to me is one of the most underappreciated AEW talents there is. He's so fluid and good in the ring. It's unbelievable. And he pairs up so well with like the luchador style in CMLL.
He does. And just seeing the arena in Mexico, I can see why Danielson wanted to go down there, because that was a freaking hot crowd. And Danielson just having the best 2024 ever. And he's looking around at all this going like, hey, how's your 24 going? Oh, that's nice. This is mine.
It's unbelievable. And I don't want to shout out Claudio, because Claudio looked really great in this. He had the crowd going nuts with like the big swing and everything. I'm very excited to see Bryan Danielson return, as he's coming back next week to take on Blue Panther one-on-one.
Yet another new week, new favorite Daniel Bryanson match. We'll see how it goes. Now, speaking of the Blackpool Combat Club, they are my number four pick of the week here. Because if you saw Collision in the main event, it's the BBC with Sabata versus the Righteous. And, oh, wait a minute, we have Lance Archer. I didn't know we had Lance Archer. We have freaking Lance Archer, and that was fun. Now, Greg, I know, like, this is a match coming down the road for you on your list.
I just want to say, because, like, I'm glad they found it seems like a spot for Lance Archer, because he's been teaming up with the Righteous more often lately. And if they're just getting, doing away with Stu Grayson being in the group, which apparently is what they're doing, they've struggled to find a spot for Lance Archer in the past. So this seems like it's at least working for now.
Yes, I'm enjoying this pairing of the Righteous with Lance Archer. And if anybody's seen a milk carton with Stu Grayson's face on it, can you tell Grayson to call us or call AEW going like, hi, I'm still here. Can you put me on a match, please?
it's very weird. It, like, they did like so a whole Ashley, story.
What is your number three? But...
And then just did away with it.
I know, because I felt like they're bringing back into the company to do something, and they basically did away with it. So, Ashley, what is your number three match of the week here?
All right, so top three honestly could have been probably in any order this week. Ridiculous. But I went with Konosuke Takeshita and Swerve Strickland. Swerve Strickland on his way to the championship has been just kind of having, you know, killer match after killer match, and Takeshita is unreal. His in-ring talent is crazy, and the heel dynamic that he has, I really like. I think pairing him with Don Callis is the best for his like promos and like segments, but like I like his like showings of like heel tendencies in the ring. But it's nice to see Swerve kind of fully making that switch to becoming like more of a baby face.
True. And you know, I enjoyed this flipping of the face heel dynamic here, because remember when Takeshita was this fun baby face and he was having great matches? I never thought he'd be such a great heel, and having Don Callis with him has turned him into one of the best freaking heels. And he's going to be a future AEW world champion, maybe late 2024, early 2025. Maybe him versus Swerve, certainly we'll see it again for the AEW world title.
I was just going to say, run that back for the championship when Swerve, after Swerve wins it. I'd love that.
Exactly. So we're going down to my number three match of the week. And it's a good match, but it's more because of what happens at the end. And I'm going to the main event of SmackDown. It's Bianca Belair versus Dakota Kai. These two ladies can work a freaking good match. But it's this damage control beating down on the babyface. And we see Naomi come down and try and make the save. She gets beat down. And we see the debut of Jade. And we see how the WWE is going to play this card with Jade. And inside of this 8-minute segment, we saw her lay out damage control. Look like a big monster babyface. And she looks like better shape, if that's possible, since AEW.
Her physique is like, she's like literally chiseled. It's insane.
You're right, Ashley. It's like Michelangelo carved her out of marble and she just came to life. I mean, like, that's how she freaking looks.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I said, she's gonna just, as long as she is interested in wrestling, she could have this world by, you know.
I mean, inside this match here, you have possibility of future matches with Asuka, Io Sky, Bayley, and Naomi, and Bianca Belair, and Dakota Kai. I mean, like, there's a lot of women on that SmackDown roster that you could pair with Jade, and she's going to learn as she goes and have great matches, because these ladies know what they need to do to make her look good.
Exactly.
So we are sliding it over to your number two match of the week. And like you said, this could be easy 1A, 1B, 1C. What is your number two match of the week?
All right. So Shibata had a week, huh? So number two, I went with their Dynamite match, Katsuyori Shibata and Will Ospreay. I think I just have to like reserve a spot on the top five for Will Ospreay when he has a match. I guess like that's how it's gonna have to see Katsuyori Shibata. In, I feel like we've, even in AEW, it feels like he hasn't maybe gone like full force. Like obviously out of, you know, like injury concerns and things like that, we've seen him kind of, you know, take some shots here and there, but it still felt like everything was kind of all right. Like we're not gonna go after the head so much. I did not feel that in this Will Ospreay match. It looked like everything was kind of like, they're going for it. He looked like full force, and he looked great.
You know, honestly, he looks like he stepped out of the time machine from his injury in that match with Okada. It feels like he just moved forward in time to now, and we're seeing this like Shibata, who's from like 2014, and he's just, hey, I'm going to have a great match after a great match week after week, and I'm just here for it, and give me some popcorn.
Yeah, and like I said, and so Will Ospreay, I mean, is just looking to be like probably the MVP signing for AEW right now.
Yes, he is. And I feel like there's some people up in Stamford, Connecticut going like, man, we dropped the ball with this one. We should have went with a better offer. We should have trying to figure out what Will wanted to bring come to the WWE, because dude is going to be the center star of AEW for years to come. Okay, so we're going to my number two match of the week. Ashley, you already talked about it. It was Tatasha versus Swerve Strickland. It was a highly entertaining match. And just like you, I debated all week. Is this match my number two? Is it my number one? So it just basically is 1B for me. And if you haven't seen it, you need to go back and watch last week's episode of Dynamite. These two matches were the best thing in the wrestling in the last week. So Ashley, what is your number one match of the week?
All right. So number one, you already spoke about it, so I won't like go about it for too long. But again, Shibata's week continued. Collision. We had I called him BC Shibata, taking on the Righteous and Lance Archer. One, like I said earlier, I'm glad that we seem to have at least found a spot for Lance Archer in having him more on there. He's just a good big monster heel to have, and he will certainly like take the loss for your baby faces all the time. So why we haven't had him as more of like an obstacle in AEW, I don't know, it baffles me. Listen, I can't love this pairing anymore of Shibata along with Danielson and Claudio. Kind of a perfect trio, a perfect mesh of their styles, and just they're all hard hitting guys, so brutal. I love this. I want to see Shibata, maybe honorary BCC member.
See, you just stole it from my mind. I was about ready to tell you, they just need to make this guy another member of the BCC because he fits right in. And I want Brian Danielson and Shibata as a tag team to face off against whoever's going to be the tag team champions. That's a match that we need.
Yeah. Yes. Especially, like, honestly, if you put the belt on Dax and Cash versus Danielson and Shibata, please. Tony
that
Khan,
would
please.
Melt down the wrestling internet. That would melt down the wrestling internet, let me tell you. And my number one match of the week. We're just having a Shibata love fest here because I'm doing Will Ospreay versus Shibata. This was, you put Will Ospreay in a match, it's going to be damn good. You put Shibata in a match, it's going to be damn good. You just freaking did a power of two of damage of good matches here. And I was just like, yes, please. Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah. Like I said, you just can't take your eyes off Ospreay. He's like, he's charismatic. He's funny. He's, you know, he's so like, his aerial style is so compelling. He's like hard hitting and brutal when he's like physically brawling. Like I kind of feel like he just has it all. And to go against somebody like Shibata, it was not only like kind of like a callback to their time in New Japan, but like just kind of them both showing like where they are now, especially like I said earlier with Shibata, kind of, I feel like more proving to everybody like how okay he is still like in the ring.
Well, you know what? He had me thinking that he could beat Will Ospreay here, and I felt kind of bad for Shibata when he didn't have the victory here. I was going like, you know, we need to throw Shibata a bone here, get him a win here. I know you don't want to beat Will Ospreay right now because you're building him up for this mega match at Dynasty. I can see a future where you get Shibata versus Okada for the international title or the continental title. That would be fun.
Yeah, that could be really cool. I'm very curious to see where that belt goes, especially now with not being like anchored with the other two.
Exactly. Well, that brings our top five matches of the week to an end here. Ashley, where can we find you on the Super Information Superhighway?
I'm on Twitter, and it's at @groovy_ash_.
And you can always follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at RadioFreePW, or you can go over to www.radiofreepw.com to catch up on our previous episodes. If you're enjoying us here on YouTube, do us a favor, subscribe to the channel so you don't miss an episode. Me and David put up an episode this morning previewing Progress Chapter 166, Freedom Walks Again. It's Progress' first time back in North America since 2019. Me and David run down the card for you. And if you're in Philadelphia, I implore you, if you have some time on Friday, you don't know what to do, go to this Progress show and watch some good British freaking wrestling. Wrestling wins. And Ashley and everybody, enjoy your WrestleMania week. Keep your eyes on this channel. We may be doing a WrestleMania preview midweek here. So then, this is our Groovy and Stunning era. And then, of course, we are top podcasters, and we are out.
This is Sergeant Arms of Christina on behalf of the guys. Thanks for listening to today's show. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a review. Until next time, the liberation continues.